Welcome. It is time for What's Happening New Haven, as it is noon and the first Monday of the month. And it's always good to be streaming to you from WPKN 89.5, listener-supported community radio. Still thriving, still smiling, still rocking and jazzing Connecticut from the city of Bridgeport. And if you've never heard this program before, I'm Bonnie Likes here with engineer Sean Bigler, and our laser-like focus is aimed at the Elm City to ask the burning question that carries the same passion no matter the language one would speak it in, and that is, what's happening New Haven? That's the name of our little show, and this is the September 2020 edition. We cover music of all genres, visual art, crafts, meetups, be they on Zoom or be they socially distanced, literature festivals, and other tidbits that may or may not be edible. And in spite of this strange, rather disturbing epoch we're in, there is still, yes indeed, plenty of local culture to talk about in New Haven and surrounding areas. But today we've got our long-range binoculars pointed at Kaylor Liddell Gallery, located at 873 Whaley Avenue in New Haven. How can we offer inspiration for a gallery housing visual art through an ears-only show, you ask? Please stay here. It gets better and better, and your eyeballs will not be marginalized, I promise. Kaylor Liddell Gallery is a retail art gallery collectively operated by member artists. It is located in the heart of Westville Village in New Haven, Connecticut, and sits comfortably amongst a variety of shops and restaurants on Whaley Avenue, not far from the Yale campus. As champions of free speech, they don't censor their artists' work or written statements. They're dedicated to representing critical perspectives that challenge and illuminate culture and enrich our aesthetic experience. KLG artists are all juried into membership, creating a refined and notable group of accomplished artists. Exhibitions of members' work as well as invited artists are presented throughout the year. And first up this hour, we're cued to have a nice chat with assistant director Muffy Pendergast. She'll give us a little gallery history and all that they're creating in spite of COVID to support their artists and also hold fun, very safe events that I think you'll really enjoy hearing about. Then following our talk with her, I'll be speaking with two featured artists at Kaylor Liddell. Both happen to be notable photographers, both with remarkable perspectives driven by their own unique flares and individual wheelhouses of creativity. From September 10th through October 25th, Kaylor Liddell Gallery presents two exhibitions by these photographers. The first is, that I'm mentioning that is Surface Rising by Michael Pressman, and New Documents by Sven Martson. The gallery will be open every Friday and Saturday from 11 to 2 p.m., as well as by appointment. And it would be remiss not to suggest, if you are able, to visit KaylorLiddellGallery.com so you can scroll to their names as our upcoming discussions unfold. That's KehlerLiddell Gallery.com. And after touching base with Muffy, assistant director of KLG, will connect with Sven Martson. You can find his work on the gallery website or by visiting svenmartson.com. That's svenmartson.com. And then following that discussion, we'll ring the phone of Michael Pressman. And his work can be discovered at Michael Pressman, that's ending with an M-A-N, Michael Pressman, add the word photography.com. So now that I'm practically out of breath describing everything, which is actually my great pleasure to do, a fabulous way to suffer, let's talk with KLG. Muffy Pendergast, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Bonnie.
So the gallery has such a rich collaborative nature, Muffy. Can you give listeners a little history on how Kaylor Liddell was founded and the way artists are procured?
Yes, absolutely. So we were founded by eight artists, local artists, back in 2003, as an outgrowth of this like a Westville-based arts renaissance. And now we've grown up to 26 members over the years. We have added new members who have shown us their work, and we have juried them in. And they appreciated the collective style of being part of a gallery. So that, you know, that appealed to these particular artists that we have now. And we are ever expanding.
Wonderful. So tell us a little bit how artists are curated, Muffy. How do you get the creativity flowing on the gallery walls?
Well, in this style, as a collective, we have the gallery members that bring their art to the gallery, of course, their style, their work, but they also have different interests as far as how they can be a part of the collective. And so there's some that are naturally better at curating than others, or running the books, or, well, not that, but all the different artists bring a different talent to the group, which helps keep it running.
Fantastic. And you mentioned before we got going with our conversation this morning that there's another space where you're having showings too. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we have it's great. We have our main location here in Westville, but then we have a few different ways that we can get our artists more representation in different parts of New Haven, basically. There's other locations as well, like some medical offices, rent our work, law firms, financial services, just to name a few. And then something that's a little bit more glamorous, I think, is that we have partnered with the Blake Hotel, which is downtown. On their sixth floor, they have this fantastic rooftop bar restaurant called High George in the Blake Hotel. And you can go up there, up to the sixth floor, and see the gallery that we've created outside of High George. So it's an interior space, a very wide, well-lit space with walls that were crying out for artwork. So I connected with the owner, and we together curated some a fabulous group show to kick it off. So this is still a new relationship. We had like an opening reception in late February, and I think most people that were there agreed that was their last opening before COVID. So it's a bit bittersweet. We have since switched out the work, and now we're showing the work of Penrod Studios, which are two of our artists that are married and partners, and they have this gorgeous photography exhibit of African birds up until September 30th at the Blake.
Wow. So
that's open to the public. I mean, the hotel has never closed.
Yes.
They've been open since the pandemic started, and it's 24/7. And you just walk in and tell someone at the main desk that you're interested in seeing the show, and you get to go up and look at fabulous art in a gallery space, which isn't easy to do right now.
I bet the artists really appreciate this.
Yes, I think they do.
Absolutely. So, I mean, Muffy, I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to cut you off. Please continue.
Yeah, it's a great it's great to have this option of time, which is the 24/7 limit, because the 24/7 availability, because, you know, we can't have a opening right now. So it's made us and everyone else come up with innovative ways that we can make sure that people still get to see art.
Yes, and that is the perfect segue to my next question. And before we launch into all that's going on at the gallery, tell us, Muffy, when someone comes to visit Kayla Liddell, and perhaps even this other wonderful space too, what should they expect when they pass through the doors in terms of COVID? Have things fully eased into phase 4 in the city of New Haven now?
Yes. Okay. Bonnie, what did the last thing you said?
Oh, wondering if things have fully eased into phase 4 in the city.
Oh, right. Well, we're really conservative at KLG, I have to say. It's a very large space. It's a very large space if you haven't seen it. I think it's like 1,800 square feet or even bigger. It's got to be bigger than that. And we are only letting in 4 visitors at a time with masks.
Yes.
We've sanitized all the handles when people come and go. There's a handicap button outside, so you don't even have to touch the door handle coming in or going out, because we're wheelchair accessible. We we make sure that people wear masks the whole time, and we have hand sanitizer for when you walk in the door. And you don't have to touch anything.
No, right. You wouldn't want to. I would imagine, just because of, you know, the aesthetic distance between the viewer and the work itself. That sounds good. That sounds like you're being careful and caring, and also just allowing culture to be seen, which is so important right now. And would you say that the gallery really has an emphasis on fine art as opposed to folk art? Is that true, Muffy?
Wow. You know, I think so. I think we have, I'm not putting down folk art. I don't want it to be fine art versus folk art.
Sure.
Because
sure.
I happen to love folk art, but I know what you mean by fine art. And I think, I'm just going to say, I think we have a high caliber. I think we have a high bar. I think, you know, especially when we have a group show,
yes,
usually people can walk in and love something. Sometimes when we have just a two-person show, you know, someone might come and be like, well, this isn't my thing this month. But it's kind of like, it's kind of like PKN, you know, some songs I like, some songs I don't like.
Right.
So, but we have a lot of return visitors.
Yes.
And I have noticed our social media, I have noticed like more people than ever, like, more people have been sort of signing on or whatever, more likes or whatever than usual. So I feel like we have something that's appealing, obviously.
Yes, indeed. And now for the big dessert. Please tell us what's happening at Kay Liddell Gallery. What's going on perhaps beyond the month of September, if you will?
Oh, okay. Sure. Well, we, because of COVID, we've established a few initiatives that feel like we will continue using. I mean, it felt like a necessity just because we weren't able to allow people into our beautiful space, but we wanted to continue engaging our clients or even just neighbors or whoever. So we came up with this idea of interviewing our artists in a salon style, which is a based on like a Paris salon when an artist would invite people into their studio, like in the 1600s, and just to talk about art, like what are you, so groups of artists would gather together, creative people. And so I wanted to do it online. I wanted to like be able to have a big open space where one artist in particular would be the focus of that day, and they would be in their studios with the Zoom call, and everyone else invited into this call would see I call it Salon Thrive. I should have started by saying that. So it's called Salon Thrive. You show up at on our Zoom call, you register for it, and every Sunday at 5 p.m., we offer a different glimpse into someone's studio. Mostly it's been our studio, our Taylor Liddell artist, but we're spreading it out too. So that's a weekly thing that we're going to continue. Sometimes we might take a break here or there, but generally it's Sundays at 5. And it's been such a great way to engage fellow artists, clients, just so they get to know about these artists whose work they have seen over the years. And even, you know, some within our own membership, artists are learning about artists and stuff that they didn't know. So it's been a really great way to delve into different artists' practices and their, and just to have discussion of art.
And to get into their, you know, their creative process and hear,
exactly,
hear about how they like to find material and what inspires them. That sounds really, really interesting. And what a wonderful idea to get it online. That's, of course.
Thank you. And this is a weekly free thing, completely open to the public. You just need to RSVP in order to get the link for Zoom. And it's the same link every week. You just know it. It's Sunday at 5. We're going to be there. You grab your glass of wine and sit back and listen and participate.
Yes, you have to bring your own wine and cheese.
Yeah, That's the only thing we cannot provide. We would love to, but we can't.
Right, of course. I knew that. So, do you have one book coming up that you'd like to mention, or is that not in front of you right now, or should folks just go to the website?
Go to our website. Absolutely. We're still plotting September and October as far as the Salon Thrive topics. So that information will be available on the website. Another thing that we're trying to do monthly is something we call double date night. And that's kind of fun because that's in person. Mm. We invite people to sign up to come to the gallery. They have half an hour. They bring a date or another couple also, or just two friends or whatever. We just can't go over four people in the studios in the gallery space. So you sign up ahead of time, find your slot at the gallery, and you come into the gallery. You've got all this space and time to really look at the show. And then you have prepaid already for a drink and an appetizer at a local restaurant. And so far we've been working with Manjares, which is a very popular Westville spot. So the idea is to be with your friends inside with a mask on at the gallery for half an hour and then go over to Manjares and sit on their gorgeous patio outside and have drinks and tapas.
How marvelous. That sounds just super beguiling. And that you're collaborating, with a lovely restaurant in the community, it just shows the collaborative nature of the gallery.
Exactly.
You just keep that going. How romantic in a sense. You know, it's funny
the
things that COVID has inspired us, the ways that we have to adjust. It's kind of lovely that in a sense that only four people can be in the gallery. It's more intimate and it sounds so romantic.
Yep, I agree. And it's like, yes, we're going to continue this because it's really lovely and people are excited about it. We've only done it twice and we've had returners.
I bet. Sounds like good food for the soul. Muffy Pendergast, is there anything else you'd like to share with listeners before we wrap things up?
I would just love people to come out. I mean, our hours right now are somewhat limited and it's all on the website, but we're always available by appointment. And there's three or four of us that live around the corner. So you will be able to get in and see the place when you want to. And then go and do something outside and gorgeous. That's my big plug there.
It sounds like the perfect afternoon. Or, you know, the hours of the gallery, just real fast.
Yes. currently, it's Fridays and Saturdays from 11 to 2. Once we get into September and October, we'll probably keep the same, but it's very important that people check the website and that the website's updated.
Yes.
Yeah.
With our changing, culture, sorry.
And emailing us directly is the best way to get in touch. And it's KaylorLiddell@gmail.com. Would you like me to spell that?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, it's KaylorLiddell@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Muffy Pendergast.
It's a great way to make an appointment.
Yes, mm-hmm. Muffy, thanks so much. Oh, for making an appointment? Yes, absolutely. We really appreciate you coming on What's Happening New Haven, and we appreciate all that Kayla Liddell Gallery generates. And I look forward to speaking with two of your artists who happen to both be notable photographers, Sven Martsen and Michael Pressman, coming up shortly. And we thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Oh, it was such a pleasure for me. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you. We hope to speak to you soon and maybe have one of those hot date nights in the gallery. Who can resist that? Have a wonderful day, Muffy, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
By the by, you're here with WPKN 89.5 FM, your listener-supported radio station, delivering diverse and interesting programming. And this show, which is What's Happening New Haven every first Monday of the month at noon, is also podcasted, as are several other shows: music, rock and roll, jazz, talk, culture goings-on. So if you miss something of any of our programmers, you'll be able to find several on the podcast page at WPKN.org. And of course, there's an audio function for the live programming as well. And to put a final bow on all of that, we thank you for your ongoing support, as we would not be here if it weren't for you. I'm Bonnie Likes, here with engineer Sean Bigler, and we're ready to connect now with photographer Sven Martzen. Born in Germany and raised in the U.S., Sven Martzen received his B.A. from Syracuse University. Subsequent studies led to an interest in documentary-style photography. In 1972, he met Walker Evans and worked under his direction, making prints from Evans's negatives. After Evans' death, Martzen continued to print for the Evans estate. An established editorial photographer, he serves a wide range of independent educational institutions throughout the United States, and over the past 30 years, he's traveled extensively, producing an impressive body of personal work. He's exhibited in both the U.S. and Europe. His work appears in a wide variety of publications. So let's get a hold of him now and talk about his featured collection at New Haven's Kayla Liddell Gallery. His series, soon to be there, is titled New Documents, and will be on display from September 10th through October 25th. Sven Martzen, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, Sven, when the average individual sees a really great, really special photograph, there's really kind of a visual poetry occurring, a sort of a message, special delivery, if you will, that doesn't require a single word. And, for example, with your Cold War Berlin series, you know, you photographed people on both sides of the wall, as well as your Central American photographs were very remarkable in just capturing these very poetic moments. And by the way, our listeners can see these collections online at Sven Martzen, that's SvenMartzen.com, and KaylaLiddellGallery.com. That's K-E-H.
Actually.
Oh, yes, please.
It's actually S-O-N.
Oh, S-O-N. My apologies, S-O-N, thank you, little typo there. Sven Martzen, SvenMartzen.com, and KaylaLiddellGallery.com. Would you tell us, Sven, in your words, what is it about photographing human beings in a particular second that makes you want to capture that particular frame in time?
I guess in a nutshell, the truth is stranger than fiction. I'm sort of what we refer to as a street photographer, rather than someone who works in the studio and directs people. Very often I anticipate a picture. You know, I see two people walking on the street about to cross each other's paths, and I think that's interesting because one's wearing sandals and the other one's wearing a red hat or whatever it happens to be. And I take that picture, and later on, I look at it, and that's really when I'm making my decisions. Actually, my shooting is totally intuitive. That's why it's tough to answer questions about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. It's almost compulsive.
Right, something just strikes you. Things are probably coming together, various elements that are different and vary picture to picture.
Right, right.
So, Sven, would you please tell us about your background? You began printing the work of Walker Evans. How did this come to pass? And if you would also tell us about the work of Walker Evans as well.
I actually studied architecture for a couple of years, and then I decided I wanted to be a painter. And then I bought a camera to photograph my paintings. And then I got fascinated with the camera. And then I ran into John Hill, who was the... he ran the graphics department at Yale University at the time, and he was a colleague of Evans. And Evans at the time just needed somebody to make some prints for him. So John asked me to do that, and that's how that started. I didn't really know Evans all that well, but he was an interesting character, and he was certainly one of the major figures in American photography of the 20th century.
Yes. And what exactly happened to your own creative process, perhaps, as you worked with his image and images? Anything notable? How did they inspire you in a particular direction?
Sure. It's all about reality, really. He didn't do much in the studio either. He photographed real things, like people working and churches, for instance, that people worshipped in, and just stuff that was there on the street that he saw that interested him, much like I do myself. And I guess that's the inspiration.
It seems like it would be a remarkable tutelage, in a sense, to print the work of another photographer like this.
Yeah, it was a very valuable experience indeed.
Sven, please tell us about your process in Berlin with the perspectives on both sides of the wall. You're German, but you were raised in the U.S., but I'm very curious what you discovered as you observed the German people in these photographs.
Berlin was sort of a symbol of what occurred to my parents. Both my parents came from areas of Europe that were overrun by the Soviets in World War II. And Berlin was a divided city, as you know. Part of it was East Germany, communist East Germany, and the other side was free capitalist West Berlin. And I went there initially to, I guess, trash the communist side and make the West side look terrific. But that's not what happened. I think most of the people in Berlin, either East or West, were more or less the same, other than maybe some superficial characteristics like their clothing, sometimes their food. But I mean, they all got up in the morning and went to work and had breakfast, came home and had dinner and so forth and so on. It was really not that different. So I just concentrated on street life. In fact, I think when I had my show at KLG, I asked people to guess where the picture might have been taken, East or West.
Ah.
And very few people actually got it right. It was pretty much 50-50 random.
And were you using, you were probably, I'm guessing, just from a layman's a question here, sheet film and a box camera? Were you using a tripod when you were shooting?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I was using a 35mm camera. In fact, it was a Pentax Spotmatic.
Ah, okay.
Which was a nice camera at the time. I had three lenses with me, a 50, a 135, and a 35. I think I mostly used either the 35 or the 135. I think I was working with two camera bodies. And so this is handheld, all in available light. I don't believe I used a flash in any of them.
Yes, and I wouldn't think a tripod would work because you have to be so mobile on the street. But the reason I ask is, yes, your images look so rich and beautiful. And I guess a handheld Pentax would be perfect for that.
Yeah, I almost never use a tripod, actually. That would really slow me down. And I can't use formats much larger than 35mm either. That would slow me down, too. I think a view camera on a tripod would be very restrictive.
Right, absolutely.
The few times I've tried that, it just hasn't worked.
So what is the process like in the black and white darkroom to the end result? Can it change an image in a extreme way simply by exposure and graduation of tone inside the darkroom?
Not in an extreme way, no. Certainly, whether the picture is too light or too dark, I certainly make those adjustments. There's contrast adjustments. There's certain areas I might lighten up or darken up. And that's about it. There's not much more going on.
I'm curious how technology, as we really came on board to the information age back in the 90s, how it affected your career and use of the technology. Are there many pros and cons to what you went through?
You mean film versus digital?
Yes. Yes.
I'm all digital these days. In fact, I have been now for maybe 15 years.
Right.
And the way I use digital is pretty much the same way I used film. I don't really do much on screen that I didn't do in the darkroom, except I happen to have more control over over those things that I would have done in the darkroom anyway, contrast and darkness, lightness, color control, and so forth.
So in light of your showing at Kayla Liddell in New Haven, are you working on anything particular these days, or do you just stay alert to whatever presents itself? What inspires you currently?
That's a good way of putting it. I pretty much stay alert to whatever presents itself. I walk around with a shoulder bag almost all the time, and one of the things in the bag is a camera. And if I happen to see something interesting, I'll take it out and see what I can find with my camera.
Might you be documenting this strange chapter in our human history these days with masks and things like that? Are you taking a look
actually
at that?
Not so much of that, actually. I find I have a lot of time at home right now, and what I'm really doing is going through thousands of pictures on my hard drive and trying to make sense of them, putting them, editing them, and arranging them. And so for future reference, I'll have a little better idea of where they are and what I can do.
Fantastic.
And that's been an ongoing thing now for months, and it's taken me a long time. It's still probably not even halfway through it.
I guess quarantine is the not that we're necessarily in quarantine now, full-fledged, but it's the perfect time to have launched that. I think a lot of people went back into their archives and started refiling and arranging and purging. So that sounds like a very good thing for a photographer to do.
Yeah, it's good for me. It's a thing that's been waiting for me to do it for quite a long time now. I finally got the time to do it, yeah.
Sven, might you ever compile a book or have you? I didn't come across.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do have a book out. It's called Taking Sides.
Okay. Tell us about that. When did that come about?
It's the Berlin series.
Oh, yes.
And that came about, about 3 years ago, I think. Lecturis is a Dutch company that published it. And it's on Amazon. You can buy one.
Yeah, that's very good to know. I'm glad that we're talking about it. So it's dedicated to the Berlin series.
Right.
And do you give commentary? Woven
yes, I do. There's several people give commentary. There's myself, John T. Hill, also Claudia Roth, who is a member of parliament in Germany. There's a bunch of commentary in there that I think has been pretty interesting.
Sven Martsen, what are the dates at Kayla Liddell Gallery so people can know how long your series will be on exhibit there?
Well, I believe it's September 10th through October 25th, I think.
Wonderful. So in wrapping things up, Sven, do you have any closing thoughts or anything you'd like to share with listeners, whatever comes to mind about art, culture, photography, anything at all? Future projects?
Future projects. Things sort of proceed organically. It's not like I actually...
plan them.
Make up, yeah, plan them, exactly. Good word. It's really just street photography. I just keep on taking pictures wherever I happen to be. A lot of it's in Central America and Mexico. My wife and I travel to Mexico very often.
Okay.
It's a really great place to take pictures, and I plan to continue doing that.
Do you find that the Mexican culture is sort of stuck in time in some areas?
Oh, it's a wide variety of things. It's extreme in so many different ways, economically and geographically and artistically and et cetera, et cetera. There's the poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich.
Yes,
it's an enormously wide swath of humanity there.
Right, that's why I use the word areas or pockets. That there are certain villages or towns you come upon that have not changed very much over the years, perhaps.
Yes, very true. My wife and I, Olivia and I, go to the Yucatan fairly often. Some little towns here and there full of Mayan Indians that are just totally stuck in time. I'm not even sure they have ovens in their houses.
Wow.
And they live in stick huts and thatched roofs, and they have little pigs and chickens running around in the backyard and stuff like that. On the other hand, there's the most modern of modern cities is Merida, which is right in the middle of the Yucatan, which has everything that we have and probably more.
Sounds like a wonderful environment for taking photographs and contemplating what image might come next. It sounds fantastic, very inspiring to travel there. So Sven Martzen, thank you so much for joining us on What's Happening New Haven, and we look forward to absorbing your work up close at Kayla Liddell Gallery, and we certainly appreciate all that you've generated and your wonderful work. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Yes, 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 you are with WPKN 89.5 FM, robustly streaming from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and this is What's Happening New Haven, with you every first Monday of the month at noon. Sean Bigler is here and present in the background, selecting music and engineering our podcast element, which will be available on WPKN's webpage. And I'm Bonnie Likes, ready to take a deep dive into our next discussion. With us in a moment is photographer Michael Pressman. His work will be exhibited at Kayla Liddell Gallery, 873 Whaley Avenue in New Haven, beginning September 10th to October 25th. His collection, soon to be there, is titled Surface Rising. Michael Pressman began photographing the people, streets, and landscape of his native Brooklyn, New York, when he was just 8 years old, and his love of photography has endured and expanded to include nature, wildlife, abstract images, and most recently, photo-based digital art. He's exhibited his work widely in New York and Connecticut, and has spent more than 30 years as a national broadcast journalist for both ABC News, NBC News, on programs that included ABC News 2020, Dateline NBC, and The Today Show. Mostly working in long-form news magazines and documentaries as a producer, director, and writer, he is the recipient of the Overseas Press Club's Edward R. Murrow Award, Emmy, among many others. So now let's check in with artist photographer Michael Pressman. Michael Pressman, welcome to What's Happening New Haven. Thanks for coming on board with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Michael, I'm urging our listeners, if they are not driving on the highway, y'all out there, to visit michaelpressmanphotography.com. Pressman is P-R-E-S-S-M-A-N. And that's one line, michaelpressmanphotography.com, to view his work while we're talking, and also pop over to kaylorliddellgallery.com. I think we'll be doubly enchanted with what we're going to discuss if we're all able to visually absorb the photographs online. And of course, actually going to Kayla Liddell will be even better. So, Michael, if you would tell us a little bit about your history. Your love of cameras and documenting the world around you began in such a classic way when you were just 8 years old living in Brooklyn. Just to set a foundation for conversation, would you share a quick overview of how your love of photography unfolded over your early years?
Well, again, living in Brooklyn, the only reasonable place for a young boy to live, or in fact, anybody. And we had a dark room. I was fortunate. My father and older brother got a dark room going, and I became interested in it. And I would work for money. The kids who took pictures, I would take their roll of film and I would develop it, and I would make prints for something like 3 cents a print. And it was very entrepreneurial. And I lost a lot of money doing it, but it was fun. And I kind of honed my interest in both shooting photography and post-production and printing really at that time. I mean, no, I was a goofy kid, but a nerd, but that's where it started. And for the rest of my life, I had lots of different cameras and was always involved in photography. I was always interested in how a picture can come out, as we used to say. We don't kind of say that anymore. Even though my main career was not truly still photography, but I still kept it up the whole time. And since I have retired from my main career, I I've done it much more full time, and was doing it pretty full time at the last years of my career. So it's become more intense over the years.
Yes, and you've created compelling collections of that which is so natural and real, wildlife and frozen landscapes, really the most striking photographs of bears in particular that I've ever seen. Somehow you've managed to catch them in such anthropomorphic moments. And you've also created through abstract composites a striking study of fences. So can we just crawl inside your process? Would you share your artistic perspective on this particular theme for us? There's definitely something special going on there with fences. What was happening for you?
Well, let me tell you how that happened. So 5 years ago, 5 years plus ago, my wife and I moved to here in Connecticut, and we live in the town of Essex, the village of Ivoryton, and we moved from the New York City area, and I started taking pictures around here. And as you and your viewers know, there's beautiful marshland around here, and it's really quite magnificent, except I couldn't find anything. I mean, I am notorious for being bored. The more beautiful a scene is, the more bored I am about taking pictures. You know, I have a real aversion to the hallmark look of a picture and the picture postcard look.
Right.
I would go out with my camera along the marshlands of the shoreline, and you know, from Madison to New London, and bring back pictures that were kind of pretty, but I just felt they were boring. They were nothing. I wasn't coming up with anything that interested me. So it was a moment of being stuck. Of course, in any artist's life, there are many, many, many moments of being stuck, and we need those moments of being stuck. So I sat in front of my computer one day and I said, okay, I've had enough of this. Let me go back to my youth, not my youth, but my young man era, when I began to view photographs seriously. And I took a look at the first picture that I fell in love with as a young man. And it was called White Fence by the great Paul Strand. And your viewers can look it up, easily Googled, and it's or your listeners, and it's a wonderful, it's a 1916 picture, and it's a wonderful groundbreaking picture because it's kind of painterly and two-dimensionally, and it's kind of surreal, even though it's just straight photograph. And I remembered how I loved that picture, and I remembered how I always loved the image of fences. And in fact, when my wife and I first moved to where we spent, where my kids grew up in Tarrytown, New York, in Westchester County, New York, the first thing we did was put up a picket fence. And so I'm looking at that fence and I'm saying, well, we have marshlands here and we have lots of New England fences. And I began taking pictures of fences. And then I thought to myself, well, what if I combine the two? I had dabbled in composites a few years before. In fact, a long time ago, I had taken a composite course at the International Center of Photography. And I just started putting together things and came up with some, you know, what I thought was some good ideas. And I did a whole portfolio on fences in this area, composited, you know, in Photoshop with the beauty around here. And in fact, I had an exhibit in Chester, a solo exhibit with all that stuff, and I was pretty proud of it. So that's how that started.
Wonderful. Yes. That's so fascinating how that developed for you. And then on the other hand, beyond landscape and things like doing the fence kind of composite with the abstract, you have also generated dedicated modern abstract pieces that may only have really a complement of an organic image such as a seabird or perhaps the silhouette of a child. Can you share what's involved in this particular technical process, Michael, to achieve what I think are very thoughtful works of color and composition? To my eye, they actually don't even look like photographs, and several feature the Connecticut shoreline. Is that correct?
Several do, but the pure abstracts, you know, and we'll talk about the diptychs of
the diptychs, yes.
But because half those diptychs are not composites at all, they're pretty much straight photos, but they're matched with an abstract. But as far as the abstracts go, after I started doing the fences, you know, I said, well, why don't you know, let me try doing straight abstracts. I've always loved abstract painting, and you know, but I'm not a painter, and I thought, well, let me just try some things. So my philosophy is, you know, doing abstracts, a few rules. First of all, everything in my abstracts are comprised of my own photographs. So there are a lot of people who will take images from the world or from the newspaper, from wherever, and put them in and make montages and stuff. So I just don't want to do that. I want to basically use my archive of my own pictures to put in composites, and sometimes take new pictures to put in composites. And so the process is kind of playful, really. You know, Picasso famously said that when you're doing something, when you're making art, you should have an idea of what you're doing, but it better be a vague idea. And and that's so true. You know, if Photoshop composites can be, you know, the classic ones we see are, you know, if I take my cat Frank, who's sitting here next to me, and, you know, put him on the moon, you know, making like graphic representations for the commercial world, and, you know, very phonied up, and, you know, oh, did you Photoshop that? Did you put that animal in there? Did that really happen? Was that person there? So that's not the point at all. The point is to make a new picture, a new painting out of stuff that you already have. And a lot of it is very playful, and a lot of it is and part of it is by chance. So what I do is I'll go through some pictures, and I'll say, you know, that might make part of a nice composite, that might make part of a composite. And it's very thin slice. It's not like oh, well, that picture has this technical thing and that picture has another, and I think they'll work together. It's just a quick impression that I get, and saying, I think those two or three or four or five might work together. And I start, and I bring them into Photoshop, and I start playing around with them. Photoshop, the prime thing about Photoshop, you can build layers. It's all about layers and masking layers and blending the layers in certain ways. So it's very, you know, the sky's the limit with what you can do with pixels. And so you start playing around, and very often you'll play around for an hour or two and come up with absolutely nothing. Another time you might play around and immediately come up with something that's kind of fascinating, and then you could develop that. So it's very, it's experimental, and it's playful, and it's evolving. And I'm trying to evolve with it.
And with your wildlife and landscape images, Michael, how do you get that incredible graduation of color and detail? Does this happen on the computer in the darkroom? How do you get them to look so crisp and clear and amazing?
Well, thank you. You know, that's not rocket science. Having a decent eye and having good equipment and knowing how to process it. You know, those bears, you mentioned the bears.
Yes.
Those bears were shot in Katmai National Park in Alaska.
Mm.
Area where bears are not enemies of humans. Except for one. I don't know if your listeners ever saw the Werner Herzog film about the bear guy in Alaska who ended up getting killed.
Right.
That's where I was. But he, you know, that guy was asking for it. He did everything you're not supposed to do at the wrong time of the year, et cetera. So he was just asking for it.
I tell you. Wow.
I went with a group of people, and we spent, you know, 2 weeks out taking a boat to this place and hiking. And the bears were, so there were bears that, and these are big, big Alaskan brown bears. They're really grizzlies, but they don't call them grizzlies up there. You know, up to like 900-pound bears. And they were just mainly interested in eating, going fishing in the little streams. And they couldn't care less about, for the most part, they couldn't care less about us. In fact, a little anecdote, you know, you always hear never get between a mother bear and a cub and her cubs. And we got to know a mother bear and
aww,
our cubs. And one time the mother kind of looked at us, walked right by us to the stream, and basically put us in a position between her and her cubs, almost like, you know what, I trust you, take a look, be careful about my cubs, you know, make sure nothing happens to them. I mean, it was very moving and against everything you've ever heard. So she knew we were okay. But to get back to your question, you know that what I did as far as the physical, the technical levels of these pictures, or, you know, any decent nature photography can do the same. You know, it's just a matter of knowing how to do it. It's really not that complicated. It's more complicated to get the shot you want and to go to the places you want and to make sure that the light is good, et cetera, et cetera.
I understand. It's about the eye and the moment and the intuitive urge to shoot the image. Michael Pressman, can you please tell us your dates at Kayla Liddell so people can enjoy your work in person?
So the exhibit is opening on September 10th and lasting all the way until October 25th. Now, right now, because of COVID, the gallery officially is only having open hours, I believe, on Friday and Saturday for something like 11 to 2 p.m., but open any other time for appointment and any time that, you know, if I know somebody wants to see it, I can let them in. But basically Friday and Saturday, unless things change. So that's that. There'll be no official in-person opening, which is quite disappointing. But there'll be an online presence. The whole show will be put online and I'll put it on my website. My newer work, these diptychs, are not online yet. But I will by the time probably that you, this program airs.
Wonderful. Michael Pressman, thanks so much for coming on the program. It's been a pleasure to view your work, and it would be great to see it in person at Kayla Liddell Gallery. That would certainly be dynamic, and thank you for your contribution and to keep New Haven culture alive these days.
Well, you're quite welcome.
Have a wonderful day, and thanks again for coming on the show. We hope you enjoyed your visit with us this afternoon on What's Happening New Haven and the Creative Minds over at Kayla Liddell Gallery. It's always our pleasure to curate discussions and calendar dates so you can experience fresh, inspired culture and maybe even a change of scenery outside your sanctuary. I'm Bonnie Likes, here with engineer Sean Bigler, and we look very forward to being back on WPKN. And WPKN always gives you the voices and music that keep our community sharing, a very important thing these days. We wish you a happy month ahead as we enjoy the last blasts of summer and look forward to touring the art scene in New Haven again on October 5th, that first Monday of the month at noon. Till then, stay healthy and curious. Days to keep our days.
over his shoulder, said we're all doing what we can. God knows where, God knows why, no one's seen the plan. We're walking against the green light, man. We're walking against the green light again. Picking apart my little life, I wonder what the day will bring. Looking around my little room, how far can my mood swing? Sometimes you can't see the birds, but you can hear them sing. Flying away in a blue sky, and then hiding away in a gray sky again. Up in the clouds, no one knows you're there. Against the dying light.